Shalom Aleichem. Welcome to everyone as we get further and further into the month of Elul, closer and closer to the Yamim Nairayim, and of course, getting ready for Parshas Ki Tzetze. So let me share with you some halachic ideas this week. In Parshas Ki Tzetze, we have the mitzvah of building a ma'akah. This is a mitzvah that a person might perform once in a lifetime, twice in a lifetime. There are occasions if someone has an opportunity, and it's really a wonderful opportunity. The Rambam, in Hilchos Brachos, I believe in Perikyot Aleph Halacha Ches, writes that when one builds a ma'akah, he makes a bracha. I may have mentioned in previous years my suffix as to whether a person makes that bracha when he starts to build a ma'akah or when he completes it. He's got a roof and he's building a wall. Is the bracha from the beginning or is the bracha at the end? I'm not sure. When someone asks me, I refer to our dear chaver, Yossi Friedman. He had to build a ma'akah in Camp Enos. He asked me, I sent him to Rabelski. He asked Rabelski when to make the bracha, at the beginning or the end. I don't remember what the response was. I seem to always have a mental block. I keep on forgetting. So I tell people, go, ask him, he'll tell you what to do. Today, I have a question. And this is, the question is in Rav Schwab's Sefer on the Parsha. Rav Schwab answers that the Rambam himself, in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Daled, says that we don't make a bracha when we wash Mayim Achreinim. Why don't we make a bracha when we wash Mayim Achreinim? So the Rambam says, because it's Mimnei HaSakana, because since it's a mitzvah that's done to avoid Sakana, so on such a bracha, done Mimnei HaSakana, we don't make a bracha. It's a shame. If we make a bracha on Mayim Achreinim, everyone would be much more careful to wash Mayim Achreinim, but Eishayiyah, that is the Rambam. But it's a Stevens of Rambam. In one place, the Rambam says, if you build up Ne'a Sakana, you make a bracha, which is a ma'akah, and on Mayim Achreinim Ne'a Sakana, he says, you don't make a bracha, Tzarechi and Gavul. Second question, Rav Schwab is, well known, the Rashba Shita, that you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah of tzedakah, mitzvah b'nam l'chavei, right? You only make a bracha on a mitzvah that's nicker, that it's clear, that the bracha, that what you're doing is done in neha mitzvah. On a mitzvah sichli, on a logical mitzvah, we do not make a bracha. Not nicker, you're doing a l'shem mitzvah. If so, the same thing with a ma'akah. It's very logical to build a fence on a roof that you're using. A roof you're not using is no mitzvah ma'akah. But sisa ma'akah l'gagecha. The answer to the Kasha, the Rambam, and from the Rashba, Rav Schwab brings a Sifri. And the Sifri says something which in its halacha is a chiddush that I think most people are not aware of, the Hainu. The Sifri says that you have, the chi of Maka is as soon as you build the roof, it has to be, of course, the roof you plan to walk on. But as soon as you build it, even before you're ready to use it, you have to build a ma'akah. Now that's a chiddush gadol. He says that is a situation in which there is no current sakana. Right now you're not using the roof. Let's say you have a roof, you plan to use it on Sukkot, so you plan to use it in the summer. So already in the winter, you have to put up a ma'akah. So, and for Rav Schwab, there, it's not a mitzvah sichli, and it's not ne'a sakana, it's exer sakasim. So that's why we make a racha, because the chiyuv is to do it right away. Chiddush v'halacha, inherent in his words. Second halacha, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, a magical mitzvah. Taka don't make a bracha, mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. If the Torah had not been obligated you in Hashavas Aveda, what would be the din when you find something that belongs to someone else? An interesting question. This question is actually addressed indirectly by the Bach in Yeridea Siman Kuf Mem Vav. Because when you find the Aveda of an Akum, there is no mitzvah of Hashava. So there, the question is, when you find the Aveda of an Akum, what is the status of the object that you found? And the Bach tells us that when you pick it up, it still belongs to the Akum. It's still his. Just that you have no obligation to return it. So you can hold on to it. You can do what you want with it. But it really is still the object, the Akum's object. My nafkamina, what's the difference? Siman Kuf Mem Vav is the halachas of an Aveda Zara. Someone to go in the street and find a diamond, gold, Salem, a cross, or some other type of Aveda Zara, what does he do with it? Well, make sure you're not kain it. If you pick it up and it becomes yours, Aveda Zara shel Yehudi must be destroyed. There's no other way. There's a mitzvah to destroy it. There's no way to have benefit from it. However, if you're not kain it when you pick it up, then it's still the Aveda Zara of an Akum. And the rule is an Aveda Zara of an Akum, Bittul helps. Bittul means that another Akum comes by. It doesn't have to be the owner. But any Akum comes and he does Bittul. Bittul involves defacing it, scratching it, doing something in a way that shows you no longer consider it an Aveda Zara. So that's a halacha. It's a Gemara. It's a Gemara. Now someone will tell me, ugh, terrible thing to do. You know, Aveda Zara, you can be mevatlet and keep it. Has such kaiches atuma. So let me tell you, don't imagine your own from chitin. People imagine their own from chitin. The Gemara says David HaMelech did this. The crown David HaMelech used as a crown for all the kings of Beis David was a crown of an Aveda Zara that David captured, was not kaina, and had an Akum du Bittul, and that's what he used. That's what he used. We have an old rule that klipay shenitaru, things that come from tumah that become tar, are even a higher level, like a bakim shabbat shuva, the objects also. Be that as it may. That's what it says in Kuf Mem Vav. Zokta Bach, if you find the Aveda of a guy and you pick it up, you're not kainet. Even Stama say you're not kainet. Why? Because it's still the guys. You just have no obligation to return it. If the yush, if there's a point where the owner gives up hope of finding it, okay, then you're kainet. But otherwise, you're not kainet. As I state in the Bach, the Shach, Kuf Mem Vav Aleph brings it. The Gideon Mashar, Shemalina Ega brings, that Taisa says Fakat. Taisa says the Aveda Menachem that you're finding and then obligated to return becomes the Yid. So I have a Machlaik is a Bach and the Gideon Mashar based on a Taisa. Reb Shimon Shkop in his Shari Yaisha, if I quote correctly, Shar Zayin Perek Dalid Dibra Mafalihine, says, from the first rush in Bava Metzia, we see, not like the Bach. Really, first rush in Bava Metzia. You all remember the first rush in Bava Metzia. Shtemer is a metalis, two people holding a talis. Zemer, and even Tzasieva Kulishali, each one says, I found it and it's mine. The rush is bothered. If you found it, why aren't you returning it? Why aren't you giving it back? The Stam Beged is the Yesh Bei Simen. The Stam Bega, the Gemara says similar as Davos Yesh Bei Simen. Why aren't you returning it? Says the Rosh, it's talking the ear, Sharuba Yakum, in a city that's Rav Akum. If you find a Beged in a city that's Rav Akum, you assume it's in Akums. Now, Vashneima is in Metal is, each one says, I picked it up first. The one who picked it up first, it becomes his. That's a steer to the Bach. A steer to the Bach. The Bach says that Aveda Shel Akum remains the Akum's. If so, it doesn't matter who picked it up first. Anybody can use it and that doesn't own it. It's a raya from here, not like the Bach from the first rush. Wow, you slug up a Bach from the first rush. In Bava Metzia, which even Mesifta Bacha remembers, the first rush. Wow, very hard to do. Got to find some other way of dealing with it. There is a way of learning differently. There's another way of learning. You can learn the Mishnah that the rush doesn't mean it's an Akum's beged. It's a Yid's beged. It has a Yid's name on it. And you found it. But the Yid lost it in a city that's Rav Akum. The halacha is that if somebody loses something in a city that's Rav Akum, that is Miayish. The assumption is he's Miayish. Ah, so that's not a kash on the Bach. The Bach says if you find an Akum Zaveda before Yish, that it remains the Akums. And if that's the case of the Mishnah, then Rav Shimon is right. You have a kash. I have a new way of learning the Rush. He means a Yid lost it in a city that's Rav Akum. Ah, a Yid lost it in a city that's Rav Akum. Okay. In such a case, he's Miyayish, and then it belongs to the finder. Hope I'm reminding you of your yeshiva days. So, one thought, Lagabi Amaka, one thought, Lagabi Aveda. All right, once we're talking about Metzia, let me tell you something else. There's an old klutz kasher. Sounds like a good kasher. There's a man yamar in the Gemara, Bari Vishema, Bari Adif. That means, if somebody says, you definitely owe me money, and someone says, I don't remember. The other person says, I don't remember. Bari b'shema. It's an argument in the Gemara. There's one man, the Amar, who says you have to pay. Bari b'shema, Bari wins. And we don't pass it that way, but this is focused on that man, the Amar. Bari b'shema, the Bari wins. Kasha is, why doesn't the Shema have a Migul? He could have said he's a Bari. Why didn't the Shema win? With a Migul, he could have said that he's a Bari. And that's a klutz kasha. Why? Because what does Migul mean? If you're a Shema, you're saying, I don't know this if I owe you money. If you're saying, I have a Migul, I could have said, you don't owe me money. True. You have a Migul, you could have said, you don't owe me money. But the Migul only says that you're believed in what you're saying. You're saying, I don't remember. You're saying, believe me, if I'm a liar, I could have said that you don't owe me money. The answer is, you do have a Migul. We do believe you. We do believe you that you're a Shema. We do believe you that you're somebody who doesn't know. You're still a Shema. In other words, the idea of a Migul is that it only reinforces what you're saying. But if you're saying Shema, then it reinforces the Shema. You're still a Shema. Bari v'Shema, Bari Yadav. Now, this is an elementary idea in the Lamdas of Migul. But here we have a Kash. The first Mishnah, two people come running in. Each one says, I found a talus and it's mine. I found a talus and it's mine. I picked it up first. I picked it up first. The Gemara says, neither is necessarily lying. It's a dummy. Each one really thinks he picked it up first. It was close. And people tend to see things their way. So they're not necessarily liars or crooks. They're saying what they saw. Okay. The second part of the Mishnah says, one person said it's all mine, one person said it's half mine. Okay. So the rule is, the one says it's all mine, one says it's half mine. The one who said it's all mine gets 3/4. The one who says half mine gets 1/4. You all remember the first Mishnah about Metzia. In the olden days, we used to finish the whole Mishnah during this man. Like today. At any rate, Tosis asks, let the one who says it's half mine have a Migul. He could have said Kula Shali. If he had said it's all mine, then he would get half and the other fellow would get half. So why give him 1/4? When he says it's half mine, he has a Migul. He could have said it's all mine. This is Tosis cash. So I'd like to share with you a problem with Tosis. It's a mind twister. It's a puzzle. If someone says it's half mine, but the dummy means he really thinks they picked it up together. He says, believe me, I have a Migul. I could have said it's all mine. But we believe you. The whole reason we say achleiku is because we assume, but the dummy, that it's your estimation. It may not be correct. People see things their way. You'll say we picked it up together. Maybe you didn't pick it up together. So the same thing as the close kasha, bari v'sham bari adif, should apply there. Oh, what a gewaldige question for the Shabbos table. Be well. Everybody have a absolutely wonderful Shabbos, tolling and learning Bezos Hashem, as you used to do, and maybe you still do, in your yeshiva days. A good Shabbos to one another.